Well, welcome everybody. Another fantastic episode of Playing with Perspective, the Suspended Animation Podcast. It's episode 31, and back by popular demand for the third time, we have head fire starter, Grant Tom. And I'm very excited. Hey, Grant, how are you doing, my man?
I'm very, very well. Thank you.
I'm always excited to have you on the show because you always come across with some amazing business content, business insights. You know, you've had a lot of experience. You've got a lot of great energy. And today we're going to be chatting all about one of my favorite topics, which is branding and how to build a brand that is way ahead of the rest. Not so easy to do. So just for everybody that hasn't seen Grant before, Grant is an accomplished businessman and digital and ad agency owner, and he manages multiple agencies around the world. So there's no better person to talk to about brand than Grant.
Thank you.
My pleasure, man. So before we jump in, I know a lot of people have already watched your previous podcast, but tell us just a little bit about you in a couple of words.
Well, basically, my passion is, one of the subjects is branding. It is building businesses. It is about connecting with business owners. I understand the pain that businesses go through. Throughout all my years, I've dealt with a multitude of accounts and clients, of which I've been able to work with 15 who were able to go and sell their businesses for mega money. Wow. Due to the market share that they were able to build. So I've gone on multiple journeys with many, many clients, and I understand the hurdles and the downfalls and the limitations that most businesses have that can't get their game to market because it is very competitive, especially now with the digital platforms coming on board. Absolutely. But that's a bit of my background. I'm a head fire starter, and people ask me, what is a head fire starter? I'm an entrepreneur that thinks of ideas, thinks of solutions, gets conversations going, with the view to overcome these hurdles to make success of people's businesses and investments.
Fantastic, mate. Really appreciate it. And thanks again for coming on. So let's jump right in because I know we're going to have a very meaty discussion. Now, branding. Everybody has a different definition for what is a brand. Some people think it's a logo, it's a catchphrase, it's your colors. In your opinion and in your experience, what is a brand?
It's a very complex question to answer because it's a very wide subject. It's got multiple chapters. It's got multiple depths. It all depends on what you want to do with it. So, yes, the analogy is a brand is just your logo, which is what you present your company with, which in simple terms, that is the correct answer. Yeah. But at the same time, the brand is your memory. It's what people remember of you. It's what people recall of you is where the investment part comes together. But ultimately, branding is the science of how many times and where you place your badge, your brand, your logo with the view to create memorability, consistency, variations, with the view that in the market people identify. So back in the day, why did someone start with branding? Well, it was all about creating a shape, an object, an identification, an icon that people would remember you by if they couldn't remember the name of your company or the name of the person that they dealt with. There was always that trying to create that little trigger in your mind as to what it is, what was the color. If I saw the color here, I saw the color there. And it was all about colors, shape, size, consistency. Can it work on a small pen? Can it work as a big signage outside your building? Does it work on your trucks and your vehicles and your youths driving around town? That's what science of branding is all about. It's about just taking that badge and applying it to as many different platforms as possible with the view to create consistency, education, and memorability with the view that it has a value to you in the sense of the standards that you deliver.
Beautiful. And I love that, the way you said it has a value to you and the standards to which you deliver. Because a lot of people, when they see a brand or even a logo, they feel something. And that's what, like, to me, that's what branding is as well. It's about how you make, how someone feels, how your customer feels when they see your brand. So it's not just about what it is, it's what it represents.
But Darren, the thing is, you know, whenever you see a brand for the first time, you it leaves you cold. You don't know what it is. You don't know what they are. Okay.
True.
Branding starts when you've seen the brand a number of times, when you've interacted with the company, when you've bought something from the company and you've walked away with a good feeling experience.
Yep.
Then the brand starts to hold value for you. When you just see it as a badge, you know, you might just say, oh, I like it, but have no meaning for you. How often have you seen a badge that you interacted with and thereafter you see it everywhere?
Yes, always.
But prior to that, you didn't notice them. Yep. It's that type of thing. Once you've been educated or introduced to a brand, how do you then just identify with them on everything that you do? Branding, it could be something that you live by. So we, as humans, maybe not so much now in lockdown, but in normal society, we can interact with about 4,000 to 5,000 brands a day.
Wow.
So that means from the radio station you listen to when you wake up in the morning, to the toothpaste that you use, to the cereal that you eat, to the car that you drive, to the clothes that you put on, the glasses that you wear, to the briefcase you got, to the iPad you take out, to... And so it goes on. You're just interacting with so many brands that you have bought into. You've bought into the lifestyle. You've bought into the value. You've bought into the service. You've bought into it in the sense that it is something that you decided on. Because if let's take cars, for example. There are a multitude of car brands. Why did you choose that brand? Was it because it was functional, because it was affordable, or was it because something aspirational? And once again, these are the way that we go down and dig. Another thing is sometimes a brand just doesn't sit with you, and you have a car that comes to you and you say, I'll never buy one like that. And it just, the badge just doesn't have a good representation. Meantime, the car could be fine. It's just that you do not associate with that brand.
Very true. Very true. And a lot of people say you buy into the story of the brand as well. You buy into the story of what's behind it. So that's what helps you to resonate with it.
Well, especially with digital terms, you know, since digital has come on board, it's not about selling. People want to be, they want to be entertained. Okay. So brands now don't just come and say, hey, buy my sunnies, you know, and you're going to buy these sunnies there and they're going for $300. You know, they're not pushing price. They're not pushing product. They take you on a journey and say, if you were wearing these sunnies, we would show you these beaches looking like this. You know, they would come up with a story that you would say, I didn't realize that if I wore those glasses, I'd see the world so differently. And yet they took me on a journey around the world. They didn't try and sell me a pair of glasses.
Yeah.
So it is about the story. And what's so nice about it is that most businesses can't run out of stories.
That's
right.
You
can just run out of imagination. So therefore, you've just got to keep it exciting. And of course, it comes down to the creative execution, of course.
Absolutely. And I think you've hit the nail on the head there as well. Because as you mentioned before, the brand is really something that's built over time.
Yeah.
The repetition of seeing that those colors or that logo or that message.
Yeah.
Even receiving that experience over time. So branding to me as well is it's how you execute on the promotion of that brand.
Yes.
You know, that's, as you said, it's not just that one time. It's you have to build that experience and that relationship over multiple touch points.
Correct.
And so branding is really twofold. It's what it represents, but how you promote it.
Yeah, very much so. Very much. You know, I think in one of the other episodes, I mentioned that I was taught by David Ogilvy.
Yep.
And David would always tell you that if you want something ahead of its time, well, you need to build it 10 years ahead of its time. That's the only way that you're going to get ahead of the game. You never get ahead of the game from behind this curtain. You've got to like jump and forward think as to how you're going to look in the tomorrow market.
Yep.
I didn't understand it at the time. I understand it a lot better now. So whenever I'm in the process of building a brand for a customer, I always try and work out what is the end result. And this is where I think, and if we get too heavy, just pull me out of this one.
Ah, let's go.
is that when you're starting a business, 9 times out of 10, a nice desk is more important than a nice brand.
Right.
Okay. To have trucks to deliver your business is a lot better than having a marketing strategy. You know, a lot of people put the cart before the horse when it comes to building a brand.
Gotcha.
But a lot of people think when we get money, we'll come back and we'll fix it.
Yep.
And that is, I think, where most people go wrong is that if your business is successful, you spend a lot more money fixing the brand. And therefore, you have to re-educate the customer. You have to assure them that the standard is the same. You have to assure them that we are the same company. And so you're spending a lot more educational marketing dollars.
Gotcha.
To get there. So I think what people need to do is spend a bit of time up front working out what is this iconic brand going to be now. Yes, allow for tweaks along the journey that you tweak to be relevant to the time or the trend of that period. But don't sit and reinvent yourself time and time again now that you've got money later. Do it properly now and think about the long journey going forward.
Absolutely. I mean, and what always comes to my mind when we talk about brand as a perfect example of brand building and marketing is Apple. I mean, for me, when I look at an Apple sign or I go past an Apple store, it represents functionality, culture, cutting edge technology, funkiness, incredible service, all those things. So Apple to me is a perfect example of how they've built a brand, and Steve Jobs is a master of educating customers way before they even knew they needed something.
Well, that's a fantastic example that you've chosen, because there's a good side and a bad side to that story. So I remember in 1983, I was in New York and I was at the Apple store. And I remember that I wasn't an Apple fan due to the fact that they were bankrupt on the New York stock market. And I thought, well, that's not a brand I'm going to invest in. And I wasn't going prepared to do that. But at the end of the day, if you look at where they are today, they came from being bankrupt. They came from being old. They came from being behind to a point where they now are this relevant company where they are trending. Their brand looks incredible. Their delivery, their service, their aspiration. They now own just about every single customer on the planet, because you come back and buy the upgrade or the next piece, or you're buying into iTunes or whatever the case may be. But here's the story, is that the Apple may have changed and adapted, but it didn't reinvent itself. It's still the same shape and icon that it was all those years ago. So even though it went had hardships and it was not relevant at the time, yet it was a change maker, it is now relevant today. And yes, it's still got issues, but at the end of the day, the brand came on a journey, the packaging came on a journey, the experience came on a journey to a point that we have an expectation of what we want from a brand like Apple.
Perfect. So the brand stayed the same, the message stayed the same, they just got better at the execution.
Correct. And they adapted and evolved according to the trends. So let's think about Apple in 2035. What would it look like then? You know, what will tweak, you know, and we don't know what that's going to be yet, but I know for a fact that it's going to have the same foundation as what it's got right now. It just may do a different thing back in, you know, when you get your box with your glass phone now or whatever the reason.
Or your Apple hologram. Whatever.
Apple hologram.
Whatever the hell it's going to be.
Or your embedded skin controller or something.
Fantastic. Your Apple tattoo.
Your invisible tattoo.
Yeah, anything's possible. But I mean, that's a really good example of that, is that Apple have stayed true to their messaging and their culture and their branding, so to speak. Their core.
Yeah.
And they've just tweaked and pivoted in terms of their execution, but they didn't go and reinvent the wheel, because that's way too time consuming and confusing.
But another thing as well is that they went out and they gave the customer what they wanted, not what they thought they wanted. So yes, they were able to sell you a dream. They were able to sell you a service. They were able to sell you a device that could perform a daily task. Yep. And we buy into that, because those are the things that help us live, because we check our phones, we look at our watches, we use our iPads, we're on our laptops. You know, and they tried to be a change maker within that space. And I think that back in the day, I think they were behind the wall of Microsoft. Yep. But I think today they're ahead. Absolutely. Because they've got some key fundamental services that makes them iconic in the value. And we have an aspiration as to why we buy them, if we'd buy them.
Yep, 100%. I mean, and that's a really good lead into what I want to chat about now is then how do we, what's the nitty gritty of building brand? How do we build brand? And I want to talk about that from a digital point of view, as well as an analog or a non-digital point of view.
Well, once again, multiple chapters to the subject, to the question. But let's start with the basic level. Basic level is how can you be consistent with your branding? So the look and the feel, the rules of your brand are very important. How do you implement your rules? How do you get manufacturers who are going to produce something for you, which is part of branding, like I want to get a mouse pad done, or I want to get a cell phone cover done with my brand on it. How do I give them the rules to make sure that the badge, the logo is the same? There's nothing worse with branding when every time you look at it, it's a slightly different color, slightly different shape. That's not branding. It's about keeping it precise every single time. So that's the basic level. The second level there afterwards is how to determine consistency, that you continually keep in the standard. So that when you've got your box that you're delivering and you've decided to put it in the bottom right-hand corner, that you know that you're going to keep your box, your logo, your brand at the bottom right-hand corner is very important, that you keep that consistency, that people know where to look for you. If you're broadcasting a message, you know, how you're positioning the brand, what is your story, what is your value proposition, what's your call to action, where to get you, how to touch you, are the things that come out of it. I think that the third thing is the honesty, the clarity, the sincerity, I believe in brands nowadays need to show that sincerity and honesty policies to the front as to what are they in the earth. What are they to the environment? What are they to us as humans? What are they as a culture? That they're not just running the earth in the back of their factory and they're trying to sell us this beautiful dream, that they are sustainable, that they are being sincere, I think is ultimately what it is. And then we come down to the bottom level. Say, for example, whenever you want to sell a business, let's say we're going to sell Apple, for example. There's many things that go through an accountant's mind when it comes to selling a business. So naturally, you look at the goodwill, you look at the assets, you look at the contracts, you know, there's multiple things that you come and you work out a PE of 2, 3, 5, 10 or whatever the case may be, which PE stands for potential earnings. And you come up with a number as to what you're going to sell the business for, as to its stock on the market and all that type of thing. What's come about in the last couple of years is that many businesses now determine a brand value.
Right.
How many times has this brand been seen? How much money have I invested in this brand? And that is a figure that 9 times out of 10, you can actually put on top of the selling price once the accountants have calculated all the goodwill in the business, is that you can put on top of it that badge, that logo, that symbol, that brand is something that now has an invested value to that. Oh, that contribute. So that's the importance of brand. But not every business can do that because you've really got to be a power player. You've got to be a brand that is of necessity value. So if I'm a little plumbing business and I've spent my time building my brand and people know my little brand in my little community, and yes, it's worth value, but it's not the same as an Apple brand that's talked around the world, so to speak. So you've just got to keep that in perspective. But ultimately, the investment is something that you can add on to the business when it's being sold. Now, the bottom line is that all businesses should be built with a view to sell one day. And what's the point of then selling a business without a brand?
Yeah.
So build the brand right. Keep it consistent. Make sure you're adaptable to the trends. Make sure that you're showing sincerity and goodwill and honesty. And at the end of the day, what you've invested in, you'll be able to put on top of the selling price of a business should you ever want to sell it. But once again, it's only worth to what a potential buyer is prepared to pay. But I think if you can substantiate it and validate it, you can get your price.
That's actually a really interesting point. I mean, when you said that branding already has its own intrinsic value.
Yeah.
Does that mean that you might build a business where the business might not be that profitable, but the brand is so strong that you can still sell it for a reasonable amount of money just for the brand alone?
Well, if the brand has got a lot of market share and a competing brand wants that market share,
Yeah.
You buy the business with a view to get the market share, and you incorporate the brand into your own, and everyone thinks, hey, it's going, it's got better, it's just got bigger, I'll stick with it. It's got value.
Yeah. So absolutely. So, I mean, even more important and a perfect example of why we should strive to build brands that are so strong.
Correct.
Because the brand alone can be worth so much.
Look, there's many ways to grow a business, but the fastest way to grow a business is to buy someone else's business. Because you can get the customers, you get the stock, you get the conversion a lot faster, and you've got the attainable value of that. The fact that they are buying, that they're going to keep on buying, as long as you don't rearrange all the pots and pans within the business, the chances are that you can keep it stable and consistent. But that's a faster way of growing. It's sometimes cheaper to buy a business than it is to try and keep on marketing to take market share, because to find a point of difference is very hard sometimes. When you're so close in each other's service that you, like a plumber, he can't do any more except fix your drain. Yep. But you know what? If he's got 300 customers in an area, you know what? It's maybe cheaper to buy the business, get the 300 customers, work it over a period of time that you're going to pay it off. But once again, it becomes an asset, and your bottom line of your back balance will change.
That's fascinating. And I suppose that's why a lot of big companies have, or big groups, buy loads of different brands and have multiple brands under their holding company, and they don't change them or integrate them into their brand because they don't want to disrupt the relationship
correct
customers have with that brand. You know, that's the gold. So you don't
but
want
the
to
revenue touch streams all the revenue streams. Think of it this way: we've got a swimming pool, and I borrow water from all my neighbors. Hmm. And this one puts a hose, and this one brings a bucket, and this one brings a teacup. But eventually, the swimming pool will fill up. It's the same kind of philosophy.
So absolutely fascinating. I mean, and as you touched on earlier, you know, the execution of building a brand is the hard part. You know, it's hard enough, okay, to start at the bottom and then think about what logo you're going to use, what colors you're going to use, what your brand is going to represent. But that only goes so far. Then you've got to actually start executing to
correct
make sure you promote this brand so people actually know who this brand is and what it represents. And that's where the work comes in.
Correct. So let's go back to basics a little bit here, Darren. So when it comes to designing this brand, now that we've discussed the real potential of what this investment's all about and the journey that you have to take, and it's a long journey, it's a tiresome journey, and it's a cost draining journey in the sense that you're constantly investing in your brand, your story, your product line. Some businesses you could just never pull away from it. Is to get back to what is that initial brand or badge going to look like that's going to sustain with you. Now, here's an interesting point. Do you know that logo design is the hardest job for any designer to do?
Really?
The hardest.
And why is that?
Because it's like me naming your first child. You've got a child coming along, you come to me and say, let me give it a name. And I'll say, sure. And I come up with a crazy name like Geronimo. Now, Geronimo has no meaning or inkling, you have no, since you know, it's very, very hard. So what happens is, what I believe is where I've been successful and I've built multiple brands, is that you've got to be able to get the client's input and participation in the designing process that eventually he says, I can identify with this badge. I have a feeling for this badge. I have so much feeling for this badge that I'm going to look after this badge, like I'm going to look after my own child.
This badge is part of me. It has my soul in it.
That's right. So, you know, it's hard to say, yeah, choose a name for me. Doesn't work. There's a process of how we get the clients to engage and be part of it, because it is such an important journey. It's such a long journey. It's such an expensive journey. For me to just say, give me your first child and I'll just name it and then you just school it and educate it and grow it up. And it's hard when there's no, you've got to get your input, your feeling into it. And it's got to have some meaning for you. Because if a brand has no meaning, it's valueless. Now, there's a lot of business owners that they're not creative. They don't care about what it's called. They're just accountants. You know, it's the in column and the out column.
Purely figures.
Purely figures. But at the end of the day, it's still based on the people's perception, because people will not take out their wallet and support you by taking the money out of the wallet and giving it to you if they do not buy into what you've just asked them for. So Think of it. You go into a shop and you want to buy a shirt. Now, there's many shirts in a shopping center. Which one are you going to buy? You're going to buy one with a brand, one that fits you, one that's cost effective. There's many. But at the end of the day, you're going to walk out with one shirt that you feel fits you the best or has fit with your makeup the best.
Yeah.
And you're right with your
product. Connected with that story of that brand the best. Yeah.
Correct. That's it. Yeah. So naturally, an accountant must pay attention to a brand, because if you're not getting the people to support you with opening their wallets, well, guess what? You're not building the sustainability of that business. So ultimately, we want to sell these businesses at the end of the day. It's an asset that you want to leverage. You can't take it with you. It's very hard to pass it on. It's very hard to get other people to have the same passion as you. So therefore, you've got to build businesses with the end in mind, and therefore spend more time in the designing process, being part of the designing process, and make sure that you've got a lot of you in that design, so that you will look after this little badge, shape, baby, whatever you want to call it, that you got to take to market.
Perfect, perfect. And I suppose it would be remiss of us not to discuss or touch on building brands from a digital and a non-digital point of view, and how similar they actually are in my mind. You know, it's the execution of how you do it might be different, or the platforms, but the messaging and the philosophy of how you build it are quite similar. What are your thoughts on that?
I think digital brands are going in a very different tangent completely.
Okay.
Iconography is now starting to play a vital, vital role in branding. So iconography is all about the simplification of a brand. Right. It's about the less of the brand. Yeah. Brand names that are long words, like many letters, end up being too small. They don't work digitally. Right. It's now about making names shorter. It's about spelling things phonetically rather than correctly. Oh, it's right. about making sure that you've got strong iconic differences in colors. So think of the WhatsApp logo. Yep. You know that icon. You know, you when you're on your phone, you look for that WhatsApp icon. You know what it's white, it's green, it's got a little speech bubble with a phone in it. You know, you know what it, that's iconography. It's less is more now. Where before it was about how could I make this thing, the sign, look on the side of my building. Then when computers first came around, it was about how can I make it 3D? How can I put some drop shadow? How can I put some highlights? How can I put some gloss to it?
Yep.
All of that is gone. It's now less is more. It's flat colors. It's less colors. It's less words. It's bigger letters. It's making the little badges work at that. When you open your phone, that little icon that is identifiable. That's where digital branding is playing a very different game to what we used to know traditionally in where branding came from.
Very interesting. It's almost subconscious level. We're doing this at a subconscious level.
Well, it's how we're adapting. It's how we're going to evolve. Many a brand that's a starter and wants to be a maker, an app or an icon, 9 out of 10, if they haven't thought this through, are going to battle when it comes to that iconic, when their badge is on the phone and it doesn't jump at you, it has an issue.
Wow. So with digital point, from a digital point of view, the look and feel and touch and energy and
color.
And color is very important. Even
Correct.
More important maybe than non-digitally, because it's
Correct.
A different platform.
Correct.
That's amazing.
And even though people say, I'm never going to be in the digital space, you can never say never anymore.
That's right.
Because all our businesses are being touched by digital platforms in some way and shape. We've been asked to create an e-store.
Yep.
We've been asked to participate. We've been asked to like me on Facebook. We're asked to say, listen, I'm posting an advert on Facebook, a sponsored ad, and I'm going to sell my property on Facebook. Once again, all those things are now starting to be touched digitally. It's not the billboard on the side of the road. It's not the shop that you go to anymore.
Right.
You know, you look in the shutdown period. How many times have we been to shops?
That's right.
And yet,
yep.
These brands are starting to play a role. And many brands are going to disappear. And many new brands are going to evolve. And that's what I think is incredible, is that this is forcing us to make changes. And we will change accordingly. And there will be new rules in the game here afterwards.
Definitely. And we're all... And those brands that allow us to keep interacting with them and allowing us to keep buying their products and services in another way. For example, I've bought more stuff through the internet in the last couple of weeks than ever before. and they've allowed me to do that because they've made it easy and with free delivery or with very low cost delivery and it's quick and whatever else. Those brands will continue to flourish because they've understood that behavior has changed and they have to change with it.
And once again, people have also had this time to think of what's important to them. What do they need? What don't they need? Yep. And what is nice to have and what is it need to have? And there's a big difference in that place right now. And I think when we're going forward out of this whole process and we get back to normality, I think it's going to be a lot of conservative buying, a lot of conservative thinking. And therefore, the brands that are relevant or important are going to come to the front. And the brands that are nice to have are going to have to really step up their game as to make it more aspirational. And therefore, storytelling is going to be more imaginative, more creative, more executional than ever before. And this whole wheel of marketing is just going to now turn again.
Absolutely. And I couldn't stress enough, in my view, that right now, as we've mentioned before, I think in our last podcast, is marketing your brand and keeping your brand and your story in front of your customers and potential customers is more important than ever before. Because even if your customers or potential customers aren't buying something right now, if you're building that connection with them, they will when they're ready. So, and if you don't do that now, and as you say, it takes 6 months or whatever to build that leeway, to build that journey, you've got to do it now so that in 6 months, people will start buying and interacting with your brand. If you don't, and you start in 6 months, you've got to wait another 6 months and someone else is going to take all your market share.
So for example, it takes us a while to let new brands in. So the analogy is that you're going to see it 21 times before you remember it. You're going to interact with it 7 times before you buy it. And when you buy it, will you stay buying or would you just buy once and move away? So just before the whole lockdown, a new taxi kind of service came into our city.
All right.
And we saw the brand. I haven't used it. I know the brand. I've seen it now maybe 8 times. But it's going to compete with the Uber, but it's out there. But how many times am I going to see it before I say, right, let me request this vehicle of transportation, then that vehicle of transportation is what I'm interested to see. So I'm doing the exercise myself. But you've got to realize when you see a brand, how many times are you going to see it before you engage with it? And once you engage with it, you buy it. When you buy it, you support it. When you support it, you're a fan. When you're a fan, you tell someone else about it.
Perfect. And just like when you build trust with a person, you're building trust with a brand. Same thing. And it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight.
It takes a lot of time. And this is why you've got to be consistent. You know, I love Nando's in the sense that I know the original owners who started Nando's.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'm fortunate enough, I've got the actual brief that they wrote to their first advertising agency.
Wow.
That I've kept as a memento for myself. But Nando's was a business that has gone over 140 countries around the world. But at the end of the day, they were able to have fun with their brand. They were able to be risky. They were able to be sexist. They were able to be controversial. They were able to just come up with relevant, trending messages. Now, a lot of businesses want to be like a Nando's, that little risque. It's not for everyone. And this is where you're going to look at and say, what are you prepared to do and what are you not prepared to do and can you stand by it, is where we'll determine the men from the boys, so to speak, in business.
And you have to take the temperature of the situation you're in now and the current climate. You know, you can't do what might have worked 10 years ago might not work right now.
Or might not work in 6 months. But what's happening right now, you might be saying something quite controversial in the sense of humor, in the sense of just mental relief, or at the same time, you're just putting it forward for 10 years of time that this, what you're doing today might just make you that memorable with the view to keep it going in the marketplace. In our marketing terms, we call it noting. Right. So you always try and work out, if you saw a TV advert last night, can you remember which advert you saw? Okay.
Yep, sometimes.
Okay, sometimes. But sometimes 6 months from now, you can still remember that advert. Right. Sometimes 6 years from now, you can still. And that's what you refer to noting, is how long you can remember that message. So in some cases,
if you've just heard it once or I've seen it once.
Or you've seen it once or you saw it 10 times or whatever the case would be. But in 6 years' time or 10 years' time, you can still call it up.
Gotcha.
You know, like, can you remember the first TV advert you ever saw?
Coca-Cola is probably coming into my mind.
Okay. So with me, you know, it was Big T Burgers.
Right.
Okay. It was the very first advert I saw because it was the first.
Wow.
You know, but if I talk about something that's really memorable, it's something I can recall that ran 35 years ago, but it's still relevant in my mind. It had an impression.
That's right.
That's what noting is all about, is how do you create memorability? So you might do something maverick today that could change you and put you on the map, or it could break you and make people not want to support you. So you've got to be sensitive to your communication, your value proposition, your bravery. But at the end of the day, it's the service and the delivery that counts.
That's actually, you bring up a really good point. So when you go through that initial process, do you do a lot of market research and testing, or should you just go with your gut and see and just see what happens?
It depends on the type of business you're on. It depends on the service. If you were a bank, I think you would test because the bank can't afford to take a risk.
Yeah, true.
But if you were a fast food chain, I think you could take a risk.
Yeah, see what happens.
You know, testing is expensive. So sometimes you just got to go with your guts. You know, you've got to feel your way.
Yeah.
I look at some of these Coca-Cola adverts and I think that they've done phenomenal jobs, especially in tough times. You know, we're getting into the no sugar market.
Yeah.
You know, sugarcane farms are under strife. But at the end of the day, Coca-Cola is still rising and bringing smiles to people's faces. You know, even though we're saying it's not a good thing anymore, it doesn't matter. We can associate. It gives us a good feeling. It's still showing that it's a player.
Yeah.
And I think that's how brands just have to evolve through the markets.
Phenomenal. I mean, for me, if I don't drink soft drinks much at all, but if I, you know, in a place where it's humid and I need a drink, I see a Coca-Cola, that's the first thing I grab. Sugar or no sugar, doesn't matter. So it's true. It's just, it's ingrained in my brain.
I don't drink a lot either, but if I'm on a flight, I'll have a fizzy drink just to keep my sugar up.
Yeah.
And what is it? It says Coca-Cola. It's there. It's easy. It's the top of the range. I don't go and say Fanta or lemonade. You know, I say Coca-Cola.
Sprite or whatever else. Yeah, so true. It's just branding. We're brainwashed by it, and we've bought into the feeling and the story of Coca-Cola over so many years, and it's very hard to remove that.
Well, as a marketer, I don't call it brainwashing. I call it conditioning.
I love it. Conditioning.
Okay. We condition you to understand the value that we bring. You know, the most important part of any business is got to educate the market to the value that you bring. If I can't educate you to the value that I bring, at the end of the day, I'm no value to you whatsoever.
Very true. Fantastic. Well, I mean, that's fascinating stuff. And I'm going to re-listen to this many times because I've learned so much. But if we're going to leave the viewers and the audience with a couple of points about branding, what would you leave them with?
I would say, number one, design something that is relevant to you.
Yep.
Number two, design something with the end in mind.
Yep.
Number three, design something that would work within the iconic iconography, understanding, and space of design right now.
And the digital,
and work out
sensitive to the digital world.
That's it. Yeah. And work out the flexibility and the adaptability that this brand can have, in the sense that it can work on the size of a pen, to that of an app, to that of a side of a truck, to that on the side of a racing car. How can this brand be adapted? How can the brand work black and white? How can it work in multicolor? How can it work in animated video so that you can give it all the groundings that you want? There's nothing worse than you've got a brand that just battles to adapt to different platforms. And I'd say the last in mind is the fact that have fun with the brand. Because if you're not having fun putting your badge on shirts and giving your shirts out and making people want to wear your badge, people aren't going to support you.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I would say the bottom line is that it is a science. So therefore, accept it for what it is, invest in it for what it is, because ultimately, when you sell the business, it's going to pay you back. So therefore, invest correctly and wisely from the beginning.
Yeah. Wow. I love it. Fantastic. Fantastic. And Grant, if people want to get in touch with you to help them with their marketing or their digital marketing or their branding, what's the best way to do that?
I think the best way is just to email me and to tell me that they've seen me on your podcast. But it is Grant Tom Design, and it's Grant, and the Tom is Thom Design @gmail.com. So Grant Tom Design, and I'm happy to answer any questions or give any advice on the initial stages of anyone's design, with the view to understand their business and how they can implement this design, with the view to create value for themselves, their customers, and their bottom line of their books as well.
Fantastic, man. And I'll put the Grant's email down at the bottom of the show notes for everybody as well.
Thank you.
But Grant, thank you so much, mate. That was inspirational, and I've learned a hell of a lot, and it's given me a lot of things to think about. Some of the stuff that I do already, but some of the stuff that I should actually integrate and tweak and further augment. So hopefully it's given lots of value for the viewers and the listeners out there. So once again, mate, thanks again for coming back.
Darren, thank you so much for the opportunity again. I thoroughly enjoyed the interaction. I've enjoyed the conversation. I've definitely enjoyed the subject matter. Man. Like I said in the beginning, we only scratched the surface. I think there's so much more that we could talk about in branding. But at the same time, if people out there want to shoot you some questions, maybe we can take it up in another podcast. But I think that's the part that would really challenge both of us, is if questions were asked, yes, that we could then unbundle what they are and the value that they're about. I think that's important.
Yes, I would absolutely love that. If you guys out there would like to send through some questions, please do so. Darren@suspendedanimation.com.au, or put some comments in the links to the podcast links or the podcast reviews. So please let us know. We would love to hear more about what you want us to discuss in the next one, because Grant will definitely be back. And for everybody out there, thank you so much again for listening. Grant, thanks again. And we'll see everybody very, very soon in our next show. So bye.
Goodbye, everyone. Goodbye, Darren. Thank you for the opportunity. I look forward to having another chat on another subject again soon.
Pleasure. Thank you, my man.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.